This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. I'm glad you've tuned us in and trust the program encourages you, blesses you, and perhaps even challenges you. And again, if you'd like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. We appreciate those of you who take the time to write and who pray for this ministry. We will take your prayer requests. If you go to my website, you can re-listen to these programs there, and you can also email prayer requests from the website, so you may need a pencil or a piece of paper to write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now today, I want to look at some scriptures having to do with the Lord Jesus, and I'm going to read from the book of the Revelation. The first verse I'm going to read is found in Revelation 1 and verse 8, where the Lord says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." Now, when he says he's the Alpha and the Omega, Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet, Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet, so it's saying, I am the A to Z. Then he says he's the beginning and the end. That is, he's the one who is the beginning of creation, and he's the one who is the end of the ages, is there at the end of the ages, but he's the one who is all-encompassing with regard to the history of mankind, the beginning and the end. And that's always a little surprising to me to say that he's the end, because technically there is no end in eternity, and he is the eternal one. So he's really talking about the history of mankind when he says he's the beginning and the end. Because he goes on to say, who is and who was and who is to come. Now that is the statement. That statement has to do with his title or his name in the Old Testament as Jehovah, which means the ever-existing one. And it shows up in a number of different ways in a number of different places. Moses, when he saw the Lord on the backside of the desert in Exodus chapter 3, he asked the Lord who he was, and he says, I am. And it's the I am, the one who existed, the one who was introducing himself in a personal way to Israel at that time. I am that I am. And so there are verbs used that we probably don't really understand in relationship to the Lord, but this, to me, pretty much summarizes what the other verbs are saying. Who is, he presently exists, he was, and he always was, and he is to come. And that has to do, of course, with the future of the history of mankind, but it also has to do with the eternal nature of the Lord. He's the ever-existing one. He's the Almighty, and we need to remember that, because as we go through the Bible, those who worship the Lord often are referred to as those who fear the Lord, and it's not so much fearing the Lord in terms of his judgment, particularly after we come to trust him, but it's fearing the Lord with regard to his control, with regard to our accountability to him. And of course, when we violate his commands, there is fear to be associated with that. When we reject the Lord Jesus, there is fear to be associated with that. But we need to remember, it's not Satan that's the Almighty. It's not the United States that's the Almighty. It's not the president who's Almighty. It's not China that's Almighty. It is the Lord who is the Almighty One. So again, I'm going to read that from Revelation 1 and verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is yet to come, the Almighty. And then in chapter 1 and verse 11, he says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. So in this particular verse, he has added something that we didn't have in the first verse. First verse, he was the beginning and the end, and now he's the first and the last. Again, he's the A to Z. He's the all-encompassing one. Not only is he the ever-existing one, he's the all-encompassing one when it comes to everything that is associated with creation and with eternity. And then we read in Revelation 21 and verse 6, as we come to the very end of the book of the Revelation, he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts." And then one last verse says in Revelation 22:13, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." And so as we look at the book of the Revelation, we find out that four times in this last book of the Bible, we read that the Lord is the Alpha and the Omega, again, A to Z. Two times we read that he is the first and the last, that is, he is everything. And I want to think a little bit about that last statement, he is the first and the last. When we come into a new year, we often think about new things, first things. We talk about our New Year's resolutions and turning over new leaves and all of that sort of thing. But really, our occupation in this new year should be with the Lord Jesus, who is the first and the last. So in what sense is he everything? Well, I'm going to mention a few things where I think the character of the Lord is represented by everything. But there's those of you that are students of the Bible can add to this, I'm sure, a number of other things. So first of all, in the sense that he's everything, he's the message of God and he's the messenger of God. John chapter 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word." Now that's the vehicle that conveys a message. The vehicle that conveys the message is the Logos. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in John 1 and verse 14, the Word, that is this message, this vehicle that conveys a message, became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And so he becomes the message of God as well. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So now we're being introduced to the one who expresses God to us so that we can know something about him. People will say, well, how can we know God? Well, we know him, obviously, through creation. But again, we know him through the Word of God and through the testimony of people who wrote about him that had accompanied with him. And I know there are many people who say, well, how do we know that what they wrote was true? Well, again, I just submit to you, how do we know that what was written about Abraham Lincoln was true? We don't seem to question that. How do we know what's written about Hitler was true? I at least don't question that. How do we know what was written about Nero was true? I don't question that. And we have a number of people, four different authors in particular in the New Testament, who wrote about the Lord Jesus. So we know something about this one who not only is the vehicle that expresses God, but he's the message of God. They wrote about him so that we would know something about him. And John says, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten, the unique one from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so in John's gospel, all the way through it, you'll find a balance between these two things that are very difficult for us to balance. He balances grace and truth. So he is everything to us in that he is everything insofar as being the message of God and the messenger of God. He's everything to us in the sense that he was the only begotten of the Father, and he's everything to us in that he sets the example of grace and truth. We know that when we come to the issue of grace, there are many people who name their children Grace, and I always like it when a person who is named Grace is gracious. And grace simply has to do with a lot of things, but it really has to do with a gift. It's showing people, giving people what they don't really earn or deserve. But along with that, there's truth. And so we know that the Lord was full of grace, that is, He offers to us a blessing that we cannot earn. He offers salvation to us. He offers the forgiveness of sins to us. He offers to us a number of things that are blessings if we will just receive them. And he offers them because he was willing to go to the cross for us. And that's where the truth comes in. God does not give us what we don't deserve without also meant reminding us of the truth that we don't deserve what he's giving us, and he reminds us of the truth of sin, and that sin came into the world, and death came by sin, and we know that apart from the Lord Jesus, none of us would ever be able to enjoy God's presence throughout eternity, because sin separates between us and God, and the truth is never It has never been violated in the life of the Lord. He was willing to go to the cross that he might emphasize that sin needs to be judged, and he was willing to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, in order that we, who are sinners and do not deserve his blessing of salvation, might be shown grace, and through that grace we are also shown mercy. So he is both the message of God and he's the messenger of God. He's the creator. We read in verse 3, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And I know that many people today would like to believe that the world just happened to come into existence, but I'm just afraid that that's a far-fetched lie that makes no logical sense. There had to be a creator. Well, how do we know about this creator who created everything beautiful and who created mankind to glorify God, even though because of sin we only do that when we come to him and have our sins put away through the death of the cross? But when we look at this, we know that all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made, and that's reiterated to us, repeated for us again in the book of the Revelation in heaven. When they worship the Lord, they remind the Lord that by him all things were created. And so the Lord is the creator, but he's also our savior. And we know that from John chapter 1, verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them gave he right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name or trust in his authority, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. They're not Jews now with a natural birth. These are spiritual children with a spiritual birth. And so this one who is the first and the last, who is everything, he is, as the hymn writer said, the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's the lily of the valley. In him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. He, in sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul, and I honestly can say that, and I hope you can too, because he is the A to Z, he is the first and the last, he is the one who is, and who was, and who is to come. Now, our Heavenly Father, we ask thee to bless our lesson today and to bless those who have listened. We thank you for salvation through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.